Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Back. National Day of Prayer. Make sure you connect. It's May the 4th.
Yes.
Happens every year. It's in the law. And we're thankful for everybody that's praying for us and praying for America and praying with us. What's Lifeway saying here, John?
Lifeway just came out with a new research.
That's a Christian
research.
Bookseller.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. They just came out with the new research, a new poll. Mm-hmm. And what they're stating, based in an article in the Christian Post, is that 1 in 5 Americans have read the entire Bible, and most call it a good source for morals.
So you pull that image down. So you're looking at that they did a survey.
Right.
How many people have read the Bible all the way through?
Well, they let
That's
us
what they're
know
saying.
About
they're
that.
Saying 1 in 5.
Yeah.
1 in 5 has read it all the way through.
Right, correct.
But how many people today, I mean, this culture today, how many people have read a book?
Not many.
Yeah, right.
In fact, they say if you read, after graduating high school, most people won't read a book in, you know, a complete book in 10 years or something like that.
You read a book in high school?
No, after graduating high school. College, I kind of skimmed through the
pages.
Do you
remember the first day in college? Like, oh my goodness.
Are they serious? Can I read this?
Yeah, right.
And how much does it cost?
Yeah, right. Somebody should read this to me, right?
Lord, for that amount of money, yeah.
No doubt. And so, but this is the thing about the difference in the Bible versus any other book. Mm. It's a living, active word that penetrates our heart and spirit. It divides our thoughts and attitudes of our heart. It's living, it's active.
Yes.
It's not like just some dictionary or
no,
something.
No, the author comes with the book.
Exactly. So when we're not reading, four in five are not reading the Bible all the way through, that they are not having that life in them. They're not having the life of the Word.
Yeah. And
there's life in the word of God.
Yeah.
You know? What else are they saying?
Well, they're saying that 10% of the respondents read none of the Bible, 13%.
So they're not reading
anything at all.
Okay, so 10%
are not reading anything at all.
Wow, of these respondents.
Correct.
I think the number's higher than that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Of the respondents.
Okay.
13% said they only read a few sentences.
Okay. Isn't that what's on the signs in front of churches, those few sentences?
Just a quick blur.
Wow, okay.
30% said they knew of several passages of stories.
Which is... something that happened.
David and Goliath, right, okay. Nativity.
Noah and the Ark.
Noah and the Ark.
Moses and the Ark.
That's enough.
I know.
And joking. How many animals?
Right. I know. I was just joking. Don't write to us. I knew it wasn't Moses.
12% read almost all of it. So you got 12% of the respondents almost read all of it. But overall, this is what they found. Only 20% of the respondents said that they read the entire Bible. Just that's it.
This makes sense because... you know, when America was first founded, the first book printed by Congress and distributed was the Bible.
Yeah.
And the reason why you went to college, I believe it was Harvard and Yale.
Oh, yeah.
You had to memorize, you had to read the scriptures, and you had to understand it because America's laws are based on Judeo-Christian principles out of the Word of God. Mm. I mean, some of the phrases that we use today, they're biblical phrases. When you think about the prudent man, you think about... you know, the balance scales, and you think about justice.
Pick up the Noah Webster Dictionary of 1828, and it's filled with scriptures.
We'll make sure that we have a link available to
that. It's amazing.
You're very right. And so you think about, even sanctuary cities. You know, we had a program on sanctuary cities, but it's the Word of God. If you're not reading the Word of God about it, you don't realize that God's in the sanctuary cities. But he has a different definition for what a sanctuary city is, and it'll kind of give you insight if you're a mayor, if you're a city council person, and you want to know how God would run a sanctuary city. He's into it, but he's into it differently than things that we're seeing take place in America.
Yeah. This is what one of the executive directors of Lifeway Research said. He said, most Americans don't know firsthand the overall story of the Bible because they rarely pick it up.
Wow.
Said the small percentage of Americans who have read all the scriptures is not for a lack of Bibles, because it's reported that 9 out of 10 homes have Bibles in their homes.
9 out of 10.
And the average amount of Bibles that they have at home are 3. Bibles.
3 Bibles. Plus the digital versions are...
Everybody has it.
Everybody has it.
They have access to it at least.
Wow.
So they continued this research when they asked the question...
Think about this. More people were hungry for the Bible when they didn't have it But now that we have multiple copies of it, any way you can get it, it's like information overload. And because it's so, when things are so accessible, sometimes you take them for granted, or take, it's like it'll be there. And it's like there could be a book burning overnight. There could be a, you know, it happens. They're making things illegal in the European Union right now about different things about God's word and speaking freely. And and Russia's having laws passed where you can't evangelize people publicly.
Well, how about in China? We saw a video of the Chinese believers receiving Bibles for the first time, and how they cherished it and began to cry when they actually got it, you know, their very own copy.
Yeah, Brian Wilson just told me this Sunday maybe, that there was this one man that had one page, the book of Isaiah. That's all he had his whole life. And he won a multitude of people through this one page.
One page.
And so he comes back to America and he looks at a pastor that has the whole Bible. And he goes, he grabbed the Bible and he hugged the Bible, Brian said. And he said that, you have the whole Bible. You must have won millions of people to the Lord. Is that convicting or what? And it's like,
wow.
Sometimes, you know, the feeling of like you're going to lose it. And people gave their life, you know, Tyndall.
Oh, yes.
I was just listening to a program that we did in America, how we got here and how we stay here. You need to hear that. You need to go to VFNTV.com and go to the Torch and listen to that, because that whole journey, people paid a huge price to get the Word of God in their hand, which the consequence of that, the benefit was that, is America was going to happen because they got the Word of God.
It's so important, and it makes me think about what's happening right now in Washington, D.C. with Hobby Lobby, the founders of Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
They actually personally had the very largest Bible artifact collection in the world.
Antiquities, yeah.
Yeah, and so now they've actually opened up, or are about to open, the very first Bible museum in Washington, D.C., and it's state-of-the-art. It's amazing.
I'm grateful for that, but it concerns me the fact that the Bible becomes a museum item.
Yeah,
people all of a sudden start saying there's dinosaurs, and over here you can see them because they got, you know, the Smithsonian Institute across the street.
Sure.
And then, I mean, because some of the stats are saying the way that they see the Bible is that way, that it is an antiquity, it is a historical document, and it is, but it's more than that. It's living, it's active. I'm glad. I appreciate what you're doing.
I know you're saying.
But it was like, just because it's in a museum, it still needs to be in your heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, they asked this question when asked to name the reasons why people don't read the Bible.
Okay.
They had some very interesting things to say.
So these are reasons. These are reasons why they don't read. They said that these people who
these respondents.
Okay.
27% said they simply don't prioritize it.
Wow.
27%.
Well, that's kind of life in general, isn't it, for folks? And the reason why businesses fail is because the priorities.
Yeah.
It's one thing we try to do at VFN Kingdom Business is to be able to you can find out more at vfnkb.org. But it's a strategy, especially today with so much stuff hitting us. How to strategize and prioritize your day. Because there's just, you could do 1,000 things. It's amazing with today's technology. You could be so busy doing 20, 30 things, but you haven't done what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach that. It's actually for you. You can have it. It's value-based vision management. It's for all of our VFNKB partners. And it's real simple to become one. Just go to vfnkb.org and you can find out the details. But you need to learn how to prioritize your life, because if you're not prioritizing God, you're not prioritizing anything.
Yeah.
You know?
And oftentimes what happens is what matters least always compromises the things that matter the most.
It's so always.
It's like you got to make sure you get the big rocks in.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, the other thing they said is that 15% said that they don't have time to read it. This is another reason why they don't read the Bible.
So everybody has 24 hours, right?
Everybody. Last time I checked.
So when Jesus was walking the earth, did he have a different clock?
I don't think so.
How about Daniel?
Nope.
About Moses?
Mm-mm.
So they had the same 24 hours.
Same 24 hours.
We have so many distractions that suck our time up.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things is comfort, convenience, and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Things that people go, I have to watch. That's a ball game. What do you mean you got to watch that ball game?
That's
I'm not
right.
bringing anybody up any personal.
Oh, no.
Right.
Right.
That's a football game or baseball. And so, we're busying ourselves. And I'm always conscious of that about, you know, what's taking my time.
Yeah.
And people that are using their time for nothing will actually engage in your time and start using your time up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you got to really focus on it. You got to grab time and force it to be in compliance with your destiny and what God's called you to do. And if you're not thinking you have enough time for the living, active word that's going to give you the secrets of life and how to actually live your life and the wisdom to run your business and marriage and family and government, you're missing out on the secret reality of God, the kingdom secrets.
And the truth is, I think, and I'd love to hear your opinion, but if you're saying that you don't have time to read the Bible, I think you're probably just in denial, you know? There's some other things that really need to be addressing, because the truth is that if you want to read the Bible, we do the things that we want to do. Right. You know what I mean? And so,
but don't you think too, I know we got to go to break, but don't you think that if you don't tell me the value in the word, if you're preaching to me everything but how this word's going to change my life, it's going to divide my thoughts and my attitudes of my heart. It'll let me understand even myself, that you'll be blessed by hiding this word in your heart. You'll be a different person.
Well, you'll know God.
Yeah, you'll know God. Not only that you'll know about the Bible, but you'll know about the God of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that's the only book that comes with the author. Mm-hmm. You know, and listen, we got more we're going to share with you about that. As a matter of fact, we have statistics about how do people describe the Bible? And you think, well, everybody describes it like me. It's not. There's a whole bunch of different ways people describe it. And that's what I was concerned about when I looked at the stat and putting the Bible in a museum, how people would begin to describe it as a historical document, which it is, but it's so much more than that. A Christian bookstore, did a survey.
A poll, yes.
A poll. And out of the people surveyed, we're talking about now, you got to see this, is how do they describe the Bible? Mm. How do people describe the Bible? John, what are they saying?
Well, the highest percentage of people, the way they responded said, 52% said it was a good source of morals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
52%.
So you're looking at, I see it on the graph.
Yeah,
right there.
52%.
So we just had an earlier program with all these artificial intelligence companies coming together, Elon Musk, Facebook, Microsoft, Bill Gates, and other ones, and they're wanting to find the number one issue they're going to deal with about artificial intelligence is morals.
We can solve their dilemma.
Yes.
We could just send them a copy of the Bible, and they can figure it out.
52% of the people surveyed understands that's where you're going to find the morals, what's right and what's wrong, what's moral and immoral. It's important because
it's encouraging.
We have a program, you got to check it out, you know, law versus
morality.
And it's the first thing we were taught in law enforcement, that just because it's legal don't mean it's moral, and just because it's moral doesn't mean it's legal. And so they don't necessarily have to cross. And we as Christians, and look, I mean, they're looking for AI. They're looking for morals. I mean, their first number one thing on their agenda is how do you morally use artificial intelligence? The only way you're going to find that, other than making up your own morals, is through
the Word
of God. And so this
is
why it's so important. What else are some of the ways they see it?
38% describe the Bible as a historical account. 38%.
See, that's why I was concerned about putting the Bible in a museum, because they go, oh, that's so... I saw the dinosaurs, and I saw the Book of Genesis.
Yeah.
Right? Antiquity.
Yeah. Right? Hopefully, it would inspire more people to read the Bible, not just look at it from a
historical a living document. Yeah,
absolutely.
House.
37% consider it helpful for today.
Yeah, that's me. I can imagine. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
No,
I imagine. I mean, that's... And it's every day. You know, every day. It's not I got to read the Bible, but it's I get to.
A lot of people, it's overwhelming at first, especially if you're around a whole bunch of people who profess to be Christians that never even touched their Bible.
But when I try to tell you about it.
Yeah, tell you. Oh, yeah. They'll argue with you about it. But, you know, they want to do it. Maybe you want to do it, but you just don't have a plan. Well, guess what? We have a plan that we want to give you for free. It's a simple plan. It's not complicated. A lot of things you see out there are so complicated. Mm-hmm. It's a simple plan that even children are able to do it. It's abiding with God. Jesus said in John 15, the book of John, chapter 15, he said this. He says, you can do nothing outside of abiding with him. But if you abide in me and I abide in you, he says, you can do anything. Everything is possible. And so that's spending time with God. Part of that is reading scripture. And you can combine that in an abiding experience with God. It does take a long time, but we have a plan for you. It's free. It's right there for you. It's at iabide.org. Like you have an iPad, an iPhone, iTalk, iNotes. Now you have an iAbide. It's at iabide.org. You fill out the little simple information, and right away it comes to you immediately in your email. And you can immediately begin to abide. It's step by step how to do it. And it will just change your life forever. That's how we're able to do television and and the seven mountains exactly. and all the things that we do. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Because we spend that abiding time with the Lord, and out of the overflow of that, you know, that we're able to do this. And so Bible reading is a part of abiding. It's not all of abiding. So once you understand, I'm not just going to read my Bible and intellectually experience it, but I'm going to experience God when I'm reading
it. And
that's
the key, is experiencing yeah. God. It's an invitation
right.
to know Him more.
Right.
And it's not so much about the quantity, how much you read, but it's right. about what you're reading and allowing, you know, that the Word of God to really speak to your heart.
So I would encourage you to go to iabide.org and get that. And I want to continue this, but I just thought about, you know,
oh, yeah.
that's so important.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Continue on with this poll, 36% describe the Bible as true. This is the respondents, the ones that they surveyed. And so we'd like to have seen that number higher. We know that it's true.
But it's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, God is truth. Mm. I mean, if God looked at a green tree and he said, that tree's brown, guess what?
It's brown.
It's brown. As a matter of fact, Jesus walked past a fig tree that didn't have any fruit on it, had leaves on it. And he said, that tree will not bear fruit again. Mm. And once that happened, it just shriveled up and it went away. And that was within 24 hours. They were just mesmerized by that. Let's cover these stats real quick.
Sure. 35% considered it life-changing. 34% considered it a story. 14% considered it outdated. 8% bigoted. 7% harmful. 11% not sure. And 3% none of these.
Well, listen, you can change that in your life today. You can say, you know, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to download on my phone the Bible, and I'm going to begin to abide with the Lord, reading the Word, hiding His Word in our heart, talking to God, listen to what He says, and do what He impresses on you to do. And you can find that simple plan at iabide.org. You can change this. You cannot be a part of the negative aspect of the statistics, but the positive part of it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.